One of our core values is being spirit-led. And how many of you know when you write that down on your website that you are spirit-led, you had better be that. And that means sometimes God does things differently. And so as we were just praying and thinking and talking about where we would go this week, God really, really laid. There's a message that Dawn has on her heart, and we want her to share that with you as well. We believe this is a word from the Lord for our church and for us individually. And so I'm asking you to receive it in advance, and you'll be blessed and challenged by it. And so would you give it up for my wonderful, amazing, beautiful, better half.
Well, good morning, church family. I am so excited to be here this morning because for a long 3 years now, God gave us a vision. You've heard me speak about it a few times, but this morning I get to present you with an actual picture of the vision. I've been trying to tell you what God showed me in my head, but I can only describe it so much. Last year, God sent a young lady to our body, and she said, "I don't know, I just feel like I'm supposed to be here, like God is just calling me here." And right before she came, I had been praying. It's so hard to describe a vision, and it'd be so cool if I had like a picture of it. That would be so cool. And so in comes Vanessa. I point that she was here first service over there. In comes Vanessa to our body, and she said, "I just feel like I'm supposed to be here." And I was like, "Oh, I know why," when I found out she was a painter. I'm like, "Can you paint something for me?" After I saw her work, which was amazing. And so since really last summer, she's been painting this vision and repainting. And I'm like, "Can you just change that or this?" And she's been so patient. And so she's painted the vision. Are you guys excited to see it? I'm going to show it to you in a minute. But before I do, I'm glad you're excited because this isn't just my vision. This is a vision that God gave us as a body during worship service one morning, if you'll remember, about 3 years ago. So this, I hope that you will take ownership of it and receive it as a vision that God has for you as well. There's so much to it, and I wish I could go into every detail that God has revealed to me since that vision 3 years ago. But why I'm here this morning telling you about it again is not just because we have a picture of it, but because he's given me another vision to add on to it and to give more revelation to it. And so I'm excited to show you that. But before we do, I want to turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to read you something that goes along with this. I thought I had my bookmark there, and I didn't. I'm going old school today. Friday night, we were speaking at a banquet, and I'm using my phone trying to be, like, cool because we were speaking to eighth graders at their banquet, and I accidentally swiped my notes away, and I was like, "Well, good thing the Holy Spirit's here." So I'm like, I'm going old school this morning. So Philippians chapter 3. And in verse 12, it says this: "Do all things without complaining." No, that's not what I want to read. That's 2. That's a good word, though. We're going to get to it. I might need to go back to that later. God, Holy Spirit must have been showing me something. Verse 12 in chapter 3 says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind." Amen? And so this word goes with this vision. So are you ready for the unveiling? I need a little drum roll. So this is our vision that God has been giving us. And the original vision that he gave us 3 years ago, it didn't include this part here. It was just this guy and this guy down here on this mountain with all these precipices sticking out. That was the vision that I saw in my head. This guy down here, I'm going to just, forgive me if it's repetitive to you, if you've heard this a few times. I know I refer to it a lot. But I know God has a fresh word this morning for us in it. And for those who haven't heard the whole vision, I just want to run through it really quick. So this guy down here, he is, he got up on the mountain. He's sitting on his precipice. He represents like someone who's new in the Lord, a new believer. He received Christ and he just got into the kingdom and he's sitting there just enjoying this view. And he's looking out thinking, wow, this is so beautiful up here, this new view that I have now. And he's just sitting there. But the problem is he has been sitting there a while now, and he's become complacent. And that's what God showed me in that vision is this man down here, he's become complacent. He's not interested in going any further. He's just sitting there. This man up here, he's known the Lord for a long time, and he's sitting on the end of his precipice, and he's looking down at this guy, and he's saying, what are you doing just sitting there? If you only knew how much better it was up here, how much better the view was up here, how much more you could see up here, you wouldn't just be sitting there. You'd be trying to get up here, right? Well, this guy, he'd read through his Bible. He'd heard all the sermons. He knew the Lord a long time. He was just like, you know, there's not really much more I can learn, not much more I can know. But what he didn't realize is there's more for him too. He wasn't at the top precipice yet, and there was more for him too. And so what God was saying to the church was not to condemn the church, because this guy also was complacent, unrealizing, unknowing how complacent he was. But what God was saying to the church is, the church is in a place of complacency. This is what God put on my heart that morning. The church is in a place of complacency. And God was not showing this to us to condemn the church, but to let us know that he is calling the church out of that place of complacency. He wants us to come up out of that place of complacency. He's drawing us up. He's inviting us up to the next level. Before the next year, we were having a women's retreat. And before the retreat, God gave me another vision. And the vision was of this same mountain again. And this time, it was just of this middle section here. And there were some women on this precipice down here. And then Jesus was up here, and he had opened these doors, just kind of like two big electrical doors in the ground. He had opened these doors up, and he was inviting us to come up to the next level with him. And so that was the vision the year after that. And what God is doing for the church is inviting us up to the next level. And what he wants us to know is, we don't just jump up there, but how do we get up to the next level? And the way we get up to the next level is we have to go through this shadow area here. Do you see that? See how the sun comes down and it's light on the edge here? Because it's fun when we get to a new season, we enter a new season, we're all excited, right? You know, like the Israelites that were in Egypt. And God brought them out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they were so excited to get across that Red Sea, right? I can only imagine. We're free. We're no longer in slavery, and God wiped away the Egyptians in the Red Sea, and they had that boundary now, and they're on the other side of the Red Sea, and they're like, we're free. They were excited, right? They're in a new place. But God didn't want them to stay there, did he? No, he had so much more for them, didn't he? The promised land that he had waiting for them was so much more. They couldn't see it at the time. But it was a land flowing with milk and honey, right? And he describes it so well in Deuteronomy 11. I encourage you to read it. It's such a great chapter. But he's like, I have this place, that this promised land that I want to bring you to. So he said, and so they had to it wasn't just right there on the other side, though. They had to travel to get there, right? And what did they travel through? What did they have to go through to get to this promised land? The wilderness, right? They had to travel through the wilderness to get to that promised land. And that wilderness is kind of like this shaded spot here. Because there's a time where we're excited, we're in a new place, but there's a time where God says, okay, now I want to take you to the next level. But in order for you to be ready, in order for you to be prepared for that next level, there's some things that you need to learn before you get there. And there's some deeper things about me you need to know so that your faith will be ready for you to be there as well. And so you know how that works, church, right? How does God strengthen our faith? Well, he allows trials to come. And there's trials and there's testing, and those things sharpen our character, don't they? And they increase our faith, right? And so a lot of people refer to this shadow area as the wilderness, the valley of the shadow of death, the dark night of the soul. But what God showed me is I don't want you to call it that. You see, because this area right here is being shadowed by the precipice above it. And that means there's something above it that's casting shadow here. And what God showed me is I want you to call this place right here, I want you to call it the shadow of restoration. I want you to turn and I want you to trust me. I want you to walk into this shadow of restoration, because that's what's going to prepare you to come up to this next level. Because don't you know that anytime we go through difficult season in our life, when God brings us through it, that he is faithful to restore everything that the locusts have eaten? Isn't he? How many of you have witnessed that in your life? Amen, right? Any difficulty that we've gone through, after we get through it, we go, you know what? It was good for me. You know what? I'm a deeper person. I'm a richer person because of that, right? And then God just restores. And I hear over and over again, that was so difficult, but I wouldn't change a thing because of who I am now. I see a lot of head shaking. You agree with that. And so we have to turn and we have to walk into this place. The last 2 years as a church, we've been going through this. The church has been going through a lot of testing and trials. I know I personally have gone through some testing of my character and trials, and God just showing my heart and wanting to cleanse and bring freedom in areas and for the last 2 years. And then I'm going to share with you this vision that God gave me of where we're at now. I'm going to share that at the end, but I'm excited about that. I want to get back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended it, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And this is a picture of that. This is a picture of us, God saying, I want you to press on toward the prize. I have a blessing for you. And there's new blessings at every level we get to. And eventually we'll have the ultimate blessing. Amen. But God says to press on towards the prize. Paul said, I press on towards the prize. And how do we do that? He says, I forget what lies behind. What did Paul mean by that? I don't just like forget everything and now I'm going to just start fresh and new. It's not that easy, is it? We have things, our flesh, things from our past that come up again and again, right? And that word forget, he says, doesn't say I forgot the things that were behind. He says, one thing I do is forgetting. That word's a present tense word. It means he continues. He has to continue forgetting those things, continue to forget the things of the flesh, the way he used to be. We have to continue to put those aside in order to move on in our upward call. God gave me a vision January 2nd, and he said, I want to show you now, church, where you are. So we've been going through this time of testing and trials, and he said, you're at the wall, I'm sorry, I'm saying he said. He didn't say, but he showed me. You're at the wall. You're right here at the end. This how we get to the next level is we press into him, right? We press into the rock. This mountain represents God. It represents Jesus. And when we press into him, he will take us to the next level. And he said, you're right here. You've come through this. You've come through this trials and testings. And you're right here. You're at the wall right here. And so I woke up January 2nd. And I was just having my quiet time, and I closed my eyes, and I had a vision of this cement wall, just a white cement wall. And I was like, God, why are you showing me a white cement wall? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, I'm about to show you the door to get to the other side of this wall. But before I do, I want to make sure I say it. I want to make sure I say it right. I'm about to show you the door to get through to the other side, but before I do, what is it you are leaving behind for those? What is it that you are leaving for those behind you? He said, what is it you're leaving for those behind you? Are you in such a rush to get to the other side that you're not concerned about what's going to be left behind you, what you left in this season that you are in right here? He said, I saw like this graffiti all over this cement wall. There was just graffiti all over the wall. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, are you going to leave this wall, this season with this wall looking like this, with this graffiti all over it? This graffiti, it represents grumbling and complaining, unforgiveness, bitterness, unresolved issues. Is that what you're going to leave on this wall from this season that you just came through? So that when others come up to this place in their season, they're going to be like, ooh, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to follow that person to wherever they're going. Is that how you're going to leave? Or are you going to leave? And then I saw that graffiti changed into this vine. And there are these leaves and flowers on this vine. And it was just beautiful mural on this wall. And he said, or are you going to leave a fragrance that when people come, they're going to want to follow you to the other side? And so the word that's on my heart to share, and at the end of that, when the Holy Spirit was speaking, the last words he said was this: leave well. Leave well. Leave your season well. If you've just come through a difficult season, trials, testing, make sure you leave well. What was that word that God, last time I was up here and God gave us a word about Jesus entering, untying the colt. What do we need to loose? Untie the colt. And Jesus was entering the Jerusalem. And what was the word God gave us? He said, anyone remember? Don't forget, I'm going to tell you again. Start rejoicing before the victory even comes. Remember that now? He said, start rejoicing before you even see your victory. The victory's going to come. Might be a difficult road, but start rejoicing now, because why? He is faithful, and it's not a valley of death. It's a shadow of restoration. Amen? So you can start rejoicing now before that victory even comes. And so that's what he said. Start rejoicing. We can rejoice in those times. The other thing he said was, so forgetting what lies behind. So what kinds of things? So the next thing is, right? So he's showing me this wall, and I'm like, okay, you're probably not showing me this because I have this beautiful mural on my wall. So I probably have some graffiti there I need to clean up. And so what he was saying was, check your heart. Check your heart. What kinds of things have you come through grumbling and complaining? Is there any unforgiveness or bitterness that you need to take care of, or unresolved issues? And, you know, those unresolved issues can be so many things, and we may not even realize we have unresolved issues. And I shared this first service. I remember, because it was the first thing that came to my mind, I remember a time, before I had my kid, before I quit working, before I had Richie, and he's going to be 19 in a couple weeks. And I was working, and when I was in the office, I was ordering lunch. My supervisors were in town. I was ordering lunch, and I was like, oh, I'll just order lunch from Subway. And I'm like, oh, I'll just order myself a sandwich, and then I'll just, you know, give them the money when, you know, when it gets here and stuff. And so we ordered the lunch, and I got my sandwich, and I went to my purse, and I didn't have any cash. And I was like, oh, because I didn't tell them. I didn't ask them. I was just like, I'll just do it, right? And so, which they used to buy my lunch a lot, and so it wasn't like a big deal, but it was because I hadn't asked. So it was for me, right? It was only $3. But anyway, it was for me, right? Because you guys get it. So I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just, you know, bring it tomorrow and give it to them. They're going to be here for a few days. And so anyway, I went home, and I didn't have any cash at home. And, of course, I was running late to work the next morning. And then I'm like, okay, I'll just bring it tomorrow. Anyway, long story short, 18 years later, and I never gave them the $3. And every once in a while, it would come to my memory, and I would feel so bad about it. Like, oh, man, that, you know, that was wrong, and I never gave it to them. I know it was only $3 and, you know, nothing to them, but... But I had woken up one morning, and I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to read today? You know, today's yours. What do you want me to do today? And that's the thing he brought to my mind. I'm like, really? It was only $3? Like, that's, like, isn't there something bigger you want me to do today? Like, it's just a three-day, you know? And he was like, no, you know, because he loves us so much. He doesn't want those things hanging on us. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be free. And... you know, he doesn't want that to continue to wear us down, right? What does he say? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, sometimes there's something we need to do. He'll give us some instruction when we come to him of what we need to do to find that rest. And sometimes we don't do it, and we're like, how come I don't feel like I'm resting? Where's my peace? And it's like, what did I, when you do that, you'll have, I'm telling you, trust me, right? So I sent it away, gave him a little interest with it after 18 years. And I don't have to think about it anymore. And not only that, it's like, God, you know what? Even the little things you're concerned about, you don't want any little thing to weigh on our shoulders. He's so good. Where was I? I know I get off going on these stories, and I'm like, wait, where was I? Good thing I have this vision. Okay, so we've come through this. We're at the wall. Leave well. Leave well. So are there any, you know, and it might not be, you know, something like that. It might be a conversation you need to have with somebody. How many of you right now can think, you know, the Holy Spirit's tapping you on the shoulder going, you know, you need to have a conversation with somebody. You've been offended. You've offended somebody. And you need to have a conversation with somebody. You know, you need to make a phone call. It could be anything, and I don't know, but the Holy Spirit does. And so I just want to encourage you to get before God and say, God, what do you want me to do today? Check my heart, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to follow you. The Holy Spirit's so good at doing it. Sometimes we just don't want to hear, right? Like, no, not that. Anything but that. Tell me something else, right? But he's so good at doing that because he wants us to be free, not because he wants to make us follow rules or make us do something. He wants us to be free, and that's how we can receive freedom, is by following his ways. So listen to his voice. God, is there any, have I been grumbling or complaining through this season? Because, you know, when we grumble and complain through these things, what are we really doing? God, where are you? Right? Isn't that what we're saying when we're grumbling and complaining about things going on in our life? God, do you see? Where are you? And he's like, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. He gave me a vision when we were at this retreat. I was on a mountain, and Jesus was standing next to me. And it was a vision of the valley below the mountain. And what he was speaking to me when he was showing me this picture was, at this retreat was 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, was you're about to enter this valley, and I was so scared. I remember crying on Paulette's shoulder at the retreat. Paulette, God just showed me I'm going to go through a valley. I don't want to. But he said, but you're about to go through this valley. And the valley, what he showed me, he said, I want you to see the big picture before you enter this valley. And what he showed me was there was a river that ran through the middle of this valley. And next to the river were, it was green grass, just strips of green grass on either side of the river, some couple trees. And you could just tell there was life there. And outside of that grass, it was as dry as it could be, the driest desert you can think of, cracked ground, you know, just dirt and cracked ground, just dry as can be, like you would think a wilderness would look like, right? And what he said is, you're about to enter this valley, but I want you to know something before you enter this. It's so hard to say this part because he's so amazing. But what I want you to know is before you enter this valley, I want you to remember this. If you stay by this river, if you stay by the river, if you stay in me, you will have everything that you need and you'll be okay. And at the end, there's going to be a blessing for you. And so I just want to encourage you with that, that some of us have come through a difficult season. Some of us might still be in a difficult season. I've held on to that vision so many times when I was like starting to grumble and complain, and God would remind me of the vision. I said, okay, God, you said, just stick to you. Just stick to you. There will be a blessing at the end, and you will restore anything that the locusts are trying to eat up right now. And so I would get in the word. You know, sometimes people would even say, are you, you know, I think you're in denial of what's going on. I'm like, you know what? I'm not in denial. I know the hope that's set before me. And I know this everything's going to be restored. And, you know, the Bible says that when the enemy takes something from you, that God will repay you. One place it says twofold, one place it says sevenfold, just like he did to Job, right? And so those promises are for us. So this morning, church, this is the word. As far as the church, this is the word for living grace. Not only that, God confirmed at a conference 2 years ago that what they were speaking at the International Foursquare Conference, that what they were speaking there was the exact same thing. Matter of fact, one of the pastors that spoke wrote a book called, it wasn't called Precipice, it was called, remember what it was called? Oh, I can see it. Anyway, it was real similar. I forget the name of it now, I just went blank. But he wrote a book, and it was real similar to this. I was like, no, Richard and I were sitting next to each other going, no way, no way. And the next speaker would come up, and we're like, no way. And it just was everything that God was showing us for our church. And I realized this isn't just our church, this is the church. This is the church that God is speaking. He's calling the church up. It's a time for the church to rise up, to stop being complacent, to come up to that next level with him. He's inviting us up. And 2018, for those of you that are into the Jewish calendar, it's the year of the what? The door. The year of the door. Isn't that awesome? And so he also gave me a dream beginning of last month. And the dream was this. So leave well. And then he gave me a dream about what's coming. And the dream about what's coming is this. I was in a field, and there was this dirt pathway through the middle of the field. And there was so much people on this path. I was kind of in the back, and they were just going really slow. And I'm like, oh, come on, hurry up. What's taking you so long? I was starting to get irritated, like, move, get moving. And they were just going so slow. I'm like, come on, hurry up. And then the lady in front of me, she's kind of stopped. She looked over to the side, and she goes, oh, look. And so I looked, and next to us, the field was full of wheat, and the wheat was, I could just see over the top of it. It was like all the way up to here. And she said, or she picked up, she went like this on the wheat stalk that was next to her to like get some seeds off of it or whatever, grain off of it. And she opened up her hand, and there were just a few pieces of grain on her hand. And she goes, oh, I guess it's not quite ripe yet. And then I looked next to mine, and I did the same thing. I went like this to pull some, see if I can get some grain off of mine, and the whole top came off like a bouquet of flowers. And I was like, oh, wow. I go, look, it is ripe. The harvest is ripe. And I ate it. I put it in my mouth, and I ate it, and it tasted like it had been soaked in honey. It was so sweet, and it tasted so good, kind of like baklava. It's the closest thing I can think of. So when I eat baklava now, that's what I'm going to be thinking of. The harvest is ripe. And then I looked up, and the path had been cleared, and we walked right through. The lady and I walked right through, and there was a house at the end of the field. We went into the house, and then all of a sudden, I guess time had gone by, and it was dark, and Richard was there, and we were getting ready to go, and so we were looking for our shoes and our backpacks, and the thought was the understanding was that we had spent the rest of the day helping to bring in the harvest. Isn't that awesome? Church, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. Are you ready for it? And have you left your last season well? And if not, God's calling us right now to make sure we're tying up all those things from our last season. Because why did Paul say he was forgetting what lies behind and he's straining toward lies ahead? Because when God calls us into a new thing, we can't bring those old things into it. We're not going to be able to do the things that he wants us to do. We're not going to have the faith to do the things that he wants to do in us if we can't leave our last season well, if we bring those things into the new season, right? He says you can't pour new wine into old wineskins, right? And so he wants us to leave well, and I want to encourage you to leave well, and I also want to leave you with this last scripture. Before I do, I want to share something about this painting with you, and let me just make sure I didn't miss something. But yeah, there's an upward prize for us, right? Just like Paul said. I pretty much talked about everything about this painting, but I want to tell you one more thing, because we're going to be making prints of this, and we're going to be selling them as a fundraiser for our building fund, our new place. Amen. And so I just want to give you a little more insight into this painting and another thing that God showed me in it. And that was this. See the scenery back here that he's looking at? Isn't it beautiful? I woke up one morning and I was just thinking about how cool it would be to go to Israel. And I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool. I wish I could go to Israel. I just want to see the ground. I want to just see the places where Jesus walked and just like feel the air. And I want to see all these places I read about in his word, you know. And I'm like, that'd be so cool. And then I thought, oh, you know what? I can go there. Google Earth, right? You guys ever looked on Google Earth and just started looking around? I'm like, oh, yeah. So I get on Google Earth and I'm looking at Israel and I'm looking at different places and I'm looking around Nazareth area. And I see a place that's called Mount Precipice. And I was like, what? No way. No way. I didn't even know there was anything called Mount Precipice. And so I'm looking at it, and I read about it. And it's the place where, near Nazareth, where they wanted to throw Jesus off the cliff, but he, like, snuck back through the crowd. I love that scripture. It's so funny to me. Seeing Jesus like sneak back through the crowd. They're like, where'd he go? Where'd he go? We wanted to throw you off this cliff. Well, they wanted to throw him off of Mount Precipice. Little did they know, he is Mount Precipice, right? But, and so it was that place. And so I'm looking around and then I look around to see like the scenery around Mount Precipice. And when I look and see the scenery around Mount Precipice, my jaw just dropped, because that was the scene that I saw in this vision. And so this scenery right here, there's a valley in front of Mount Precipice. That's actually where the end times battle of Megiddo is going to be. And this is Mount Horeb here. And so this is the actual view was that view. Isn't that awesome? I was just like, no way. I called Vanessa, and I'm like, because she was like, well, what does it look? I'm trying to explain to her what this looks like so she can paint it. She's like, I'm trying to explain it. And in the meantime, I had looked at this, and so I was able to send her the picture, and so she was able to paint that in the background. So that's the background. I think I pretty much covered everything else. There's a great cloud of witnesses from Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to read about that, that's the clouds here. There's just so much to it, and God just keeps adding to it, and it's just so amazing to me. And so I hope you will take this as your own, because this was a word. This isn't my vision. This is a word for you, and it's hope for you. There's not a valley of death. It's a shadow of restoration. So wherever you're at in here, are you on the wall, and you need to make sure you leave it well before you go up to the next level? Are you out here, and you're enjoying it? Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know when it's time to leave. Because you know, if you stay out in the light too long, what happens? The sun starts to beat down on you, and you start to get hot and weary and start to burn out, right? If you're in the place too long. And so there's, you know, when you're starting to feel that way, you got to turn and you got to go under that shadow restoration, but it'll be okay, because if you stay by the river, there's going to be a blessing for you at the end. And he's going to restore everything the locusts have eaten. Amen. So leave well, church. Leave well. Let me pray for you. Can I pray for you this morning? You know what? Before I do, I got to read this last scripture, because it's a good one. Aren't they all good? But Psalm 16, verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. And then verse 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. And that's God's heart desire for you, that you would be full of joy and that he could bless you with his pleasures. Let me pray for you. God, you are so, so good. How can we even have words to thank you and to express our amazement and our love towards you? But God, we are just humbled that you would send your only son. That the pain that must have been for you to send your only son to die on the cross just so we could be with you, it just amazes me, Lord. And we thank you for it, God. And God, I pray that you would help us to enlarge our hearts, Lord. God, that we would be able to love you more, know you more, love each other more, and bring glory to you as your body, as the church. And God, I just want to pray a blessing on this body right here, on Living Grace. God, would you bless them, God? Would you bless them in the things that you have called them to? Would you bless them in even those little things that they may not even think that you are concerned about, God? Would you bless them? And I love the blessing in your word that says that that you would bless them and keep them and cause your face to shine upon them. Be gracious to them and give them peace, God. And that's my prayer for my brothers and sisters. God, would you bring us together as one, God, as we continue on in this upward call that you've set before us, God. Help us to leave well. Help us to leave well, that we would be a beautiful fragrance. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Do you see that word this morning? Receive it, embrace it, walk in it. Our prayer team's going to be up here. If you just feel like, man, I just feel like I need to pray with someone, or I want to respond somehow, you know what? Our prayer team will be up here. We'll be praying for you. If you're not maybe not even on the map yet, I want to tell you you're in good company, and I want to encourage you to take the next step, and that is to know more about Christ and to give your heart and your life to Christ. In the back, we have some Bibles and some materials for you if that's something that's just on your heart. You know that it is because God puts it there. You don't have to be talked into it. It's just something that you just know that God's Spirit is just drawing you in. Go back there if you would, please. And again, if you're a guest visiting us, we have something for you. We'd love to have you go back there and get that. And I want to also say one more thing is that if you would keep our dear sister Barbara DeLegro in prayer, because she is up here. And that means that she's going to go to glory. I mean, unless God does a miracle. And, you know, as believers, we always like, yay, God, it was an absolute miracle. But when someone says to you, I'm ready to go, it's like, sister, hallelujah. Put in a good word for me. You know what I mean? And she's getting ready. You know, I don't know what God's going to do, but she's getting ready to go to glory. And she's ready, and this is what it's all about. I mean, we all start off the chart, and at some point, God brings us up to the ultimate glory. And so if you keep her in your prayers, we appreciate that. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus.